Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Exciting game tonight. NFC North battle. Detroit Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers, and so much is on the line tonight. This is why we love December football. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, because the Lions, for this great season they're having, an 11-1 Pearl, the Vikings are right behind them. The Packers are right behind them. There's still so much to be decided in this division.
Yeah, it's so funny. The Vikings is the one. It feels like this
keep
is
winning.
This is sort of a heavyweight NFC battle tonight, but then the Vikings could somehow win that division.
It's so true. Everyone really just bunched up in what may be one of the toughest divisions that we've seen top to bottom in a while. So the Lions are 10-1. Lions are 11-1. Vikings 10-2. Green Bay Packers 9-3. And even the Bears at 4-8 just made this big change with the head coach and the offensive coordinator. So do they get a little bit of a bump now with Eberflus out of the building?
Mm.
You know, they're live. And listen, nobody knows that more than the Lions, because on Thanksgiving, the Bears ended up coming back in the second half. And if not for some bad game management, maybe we got overtime in that game. Anyway, let's get to someone who is an expert, not only on this team, mm-hmm. but this division and all through the NFL. And that is someone who is a former All-Pro and Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, Lomas Brown, joining us. He is the color analyst for the Detroit Lions. Lomas, thank you for this morning. We know this is a big game tonight. How you feeling going into the Packer game?
A little nervous, a little anxious, but feeling good. The team has been playing great. We've been facing all this adversity all year long. We've been facing these challenges, and the team has seemed to overcome all this. So I'm feeling a little nervous, but I'm confident that we can get it done.
Let's just dive right in. What about some of the injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball? It seems like they've adjusted well to not having Aiden Hutchinson, but then you get a couple more injuries. Are you worried that the Packers are going to be able to run the ball tonight and maybe sort of they're exposed to some extent?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing, is that they have a very good running game with Josh Jacobs back there. That offensive line, those guys have played together, so they have a chemistry going. And we know going into the game plan, that's what Matt LaFleur, that offense, that's what they want to do. They want to run the ball. They want to establish the run, and everything else comes off of it. It's almost similar to what we want to do here in Detroit. We want to establish the run, then play action pass. Everything else comes off of the run. Green Bay is structured similarly like we are on offense.
Lomas Brown's joining us. Perloff and I were having a break room conversation, if you will, Lomas. If you could have one running back for the playoffs, do you want Jahmyr Gibbs or do you want Saquon Barkley? I know you're close to the product in Detroit, but what's your answer?
Well, you know, I take the first running back I'll take is that little fella number 20 who I used to block for, Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
But if I can't have him, then I think I will take a Jahmyr Gibbs, because, again, Saquon can catch the ball. I think Jahmyr's a little better of a receiver. Both of those guys, you get them out in space, those guys can make guys miss. Saquon may be a little tougher to bring down than Jahmyr Gibbs is, but I'm a homer, so I got to take Jahmyr.
When people make the Saquon Barkley, Barry Sanders comparisons, Lomas, as someone who blocked for Barry, do you appreciate that? You're shaking your head. You don't like that.
We can't do it. We can't do it. You know, anytime, now I'll see a move out there every now and then that'll remind me of the little fella that I blocked for. But I just can't – it just can't come out my mouth. I just can't do it. Those words can't come out the mouth that somebody's just as good as Barry Sanders. I just can't form those words together.
Well, I mean, listen, you say you would take Barry Sanders, but he's 56 years old. He could probably give you two good quarters now. But I don't know if he's going to pick up the blitz anymore. No, we love Barry. We love Barry. And he'd probably be – you know, he'd still be good. But he would be the same. I keep saying to Maggie, I love Jahmyr Gibbs. And the thing about, the reason that I'm scared, I'm an Eagles fan. Gibbs gets more rests and Saquon's getting 20 plus carries a game. The Montgomery Gibbs combo, it's perfect because you can share the wear and tear and they should be fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. And that's how Dan Campbell, that's how Ben Johnson, that's just how we've been using those guys. And the other thing too about Jahmyr is we don't just use him to get out in space. He's learned how to run between the tackles, and I think that's a compliment to David Montgomery. You know, him learning from David Montgomery, but he's an inside-outside guy, so he gives us a dynamic threat both on the outside and the inside.
Lomas Brown's joining us. He's going to be on the call tonight. You've got the Lions and the Packers. Of course, he's an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion and a Lions legend. Lomas, you know, you mentioned about Dan Campbell, and I think it's really a credit that the way that the NFC Championship game ended last year, it does not appear, at least on the outside, that there's any hangover or any looming bad feelings. How was Campbell able to keep everyone together? Because that's a devastating loss that other teams could break them apart.
You're so right about that. And it's just amazing. Look, with those guys in that locker room, Dan tells them, I want you to run through that wall. After they run through the wall, then they ask him, why did we do that, coach? And that's a testimony to him, the rest of the coaches on that staff. They have the full trust of these guys on that team. They have that full commitment from these guys. And it's a certain type of player that they want here. It wasn't like that in the past. It really wasn't. Now, you know, you have to be a certain fit to play for the Detroit Lions. So culturally, he's changed everything. But I think in between the heads, the dynamics of the Detroit Lions organization, the team, the city, Dan Campbell, he's the man. He has given us that grit culture around here. And everybody, when you talk about grit, not only do we say it, you got little kids going to school talking about grit. So it's all around this community and this state.
Lomas, is there any pressure to win this year because there's a chance that both coordinators could become head coaches somewhere else next year, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn? Is anybody feeling sort of, wow, we better get this done because those guys are going to get a lot of offers?
They're not saying it, but it is. Yeah, they may not openly be saying it, but it's Super Bowl or bust. It's been that way for me since the season started. And I know it's been that way for the coaching staff, those guys sitting in those locker rooms. I know they want to get it done because just like you said, we may not have Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson. Think about some of the assistant coaches that may go with them when they leave. Think about some of the front office personnel that we started losing. Man, the vultures are coming, man. They're coming for our guys. So we're going to have to get it done this year because this team, this organization, I don't think will look the same after this year.
Lomas Brown joining us for a few more minutes as we're previewing the Lions and the Packer game tonight. He does the color analyst. He is the color analyst, I should say, for the Lions. And, of course, he was an All-Pro and Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion in his own right. You know, Lomas, the offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, as Perloff just said, he's going to be the hot coordinator who's next up for these jobs. But besides them putting his face on the broadcast every now and then, I don't think a lot of casual or even diehard fans really know too much about him. You know, we ask guys for player comparisons all the time. Who does this guy play like? Is there a coaching comparison for Ben? What's he like? Is he intense? Wow. Is he calm? Like, who is this dude?
You know, that's a great question. You know what? I'll put it this way. He's Clark Kent, okay? You see him, mild mannered. He looks that way, calms off that way, talks that way. Oh, my goodness. He goes in the phone booth. Well, the young listeners might not know what a phone booth is. So I'll say he goes in that closet. And when he comes out with that Superman, I seen Ben Johnson, this one running back. I was at practice, two days. This one running back broke through the line of scrimmage. He only went 5 yards and wasn't running hard. Oh, my goodness. I seen Ben Johnson come with a full sprint and sprint down the rest of the field with this guy, making this guy sprint. It was some choice words that were coming out of his mouth that we can't say, that we won't repeat. But that told me right then that this guy has this desire. He has this fire burning in him. And yes, I think he will be a great coach for an organization someday.
All right. I want to ask about the GM too, Brad Holmes. He is an absolute fire. Is he a genius? Because I'm looking at his draft history now, and it's like everyone, when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell, everybody laughed. You don't take a running back at 12 and a linebacker at 18. And this year, Terrion Arnold looks like another star. What's his key to success? Is he just smarter than everybody, or does he have a philosophy?
Man, he has a philosophy. And, he's always looking long term. And that's the thing I think I respect about Brad is he's always thinking of his next move. He's almost like a chess player. You know, he's already a move or two ahead. And that's how he's had to been. That's how he's been since he's been here. You go back to some of the other guys that he brought in before this year and last year's draft class. He, like you say, he's pretty much hit on everyone. And now some of the guys that we're having to bring in because of injuries, you know, he's not just plucking names. I think these are guys that Brad has had on this list for a while. He's been studying, watching where these guys land at, watching the attitude of these guys. And like I say, making sure they're the right fit to bring in. So Brad has been point spot on since he's been here.
Well, this last one for you from me, and this is actually getting away from the Lions for a second, if you don't mind. So your last season in the league, you go to the Tampa Bay Bucks, you win a Super Bowl. Fantastic way to end a career. I mean, really amazing. You played for John Gruden. Now, Gruden obviously didn't end well with the Raiders, but he's now working in the media, and he's made no secret of the fact that he wants to coach again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think another team should give John Gruden a chance? You played for him.
Yes, I do. And I'm not just saying that because I played for him. Like any coach, I played for five different coaches or six different coaches. Any coach that I play for always look. My first thing is the character of these coaches, you know, for me. As you know, when I was in Tampa Bay, I was older than Coach Gruden was. He was, you know, I was an older player, so I was older than he was. So I just kind of sat back and watch Coach, kind of watch his mannerism, watch how he handled the players. And, you know, some of the things that were discovered in those emails, the homophobic things and, you know, just the all the other things. I never witnessed that when I was out on the field. I never witnessed that in the locker room. I never witnessed that at the facility from Coach Gruden. And so I would be I'm all behind him. I don't have a problem with sticking my neck out and saying that I'm all behind him. A lot of us do things that we shouldn't do, say things that we shouldn't say. He happened to get caught with some of the things that he said. But I do trust the man's heart because I've been around him. And I do think that he will get another opportunity because once he gets in the locker room and these guys are around him, they'll see what kind of coach he is, what kind of man he is, and they will be willing to follow Coach Root.
Wow. Last question for me. Better offensive line, Detroit Lions or Philadelphia Eagles? And I'm going to hold you to this.
Yeah.
You know, wow. Why did you do me like this? Okay, I'm going to go 1A, 1B. I'm going to just say right now, because of health, I'm going to say Philadelphia is 1A.
Wow.
And Detroit's 1B. I'm going to just say it because of health, Taylor Decker's not playing right now, you know, so we're not at our full strength. So I'll give them the slight nod, 1A, and we're 1B right now.
Well, Lomas, we'll have to have you on another time to lay out Penei Sewell's Hall of Fame candidacy. Yeah. We'll do that in another interview because we're fresh out of time. Thank you so much for doing this, and have a great call tonight. Packers coming in to your house tonight with the Lions. It's going to be a fun one.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that. Lomas Brown, of course, an all-pro, a Pro Bowl or Super Bowl champion. This is fun because, obviously, you know, for so many years, you're talking about someone raiding the Lions front office, like trying to pluck the Lions coordinators. That just was not a thing.
Yeah.
Forever.
I mean, they do a graphic during the game, whenever they're on primetime. They do a Brad Holmes graphic. I mean, this guy, he's drafting at like a 70s Steelers level. It's A+, 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 A+. And I think the coaches help. That is interesting. Like, what if they lose their coordinators? By the way, they have to pick a Pro Bowl team out of this Lions offensive line, this Eagles offensive line. You basically have 10 Pro Bowlers there. I'm very curious about that. I know nobody wants to break down the Eagles O-line, but I think you have legit three Pro Bowlers. And tonight, watch these two lines. They are massive. You know, Lomas Brown would be proud because Green Bay's line is right. They're the third-ranked line on PFF. So you got Detroit, Philly, Green Bay. It's going to be – tonight's going to be awesome.
Coming up, new information, new article dropping about the 49ers and an assistant coach calling it the season from hell. Oof. We got that and so much more for you. See you guys on the phones. Oh, somebody wants to call out Perloff. Always welcome.
So wrong.
855-212-4227. Don't move. Okay, Perloff, we know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
The true love affair that we have on this show is with Prize Picks. We absolutely love it. Ever since we discovered Prize Picks, our lives have been just more fun, quite frankly. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app's so simple to use. Here's how it works. You pick two or more players across any sport, and then you just pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. It's simple for people like us.
Yeah, last night, LeBron finally hit a three and got over 21.5 points and helped me be a big winner. Prize Picks is the best. They even invented Flex Play, so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. All you do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP, and you get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus, guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Manned P.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right, someone wants to call in and disagree with me about something. This is ridiculous because I know this topic and there's no way that I'm wrong. This is impossible. This is obvious facts.
Well, let's go to Chris in Birmingham, who's got a problem with something Perloff said yesterday about the Alabama Crimson Tide only getting into the 12-team playoff because, and I quote, it's a beauty pageant. Hi, Chris. How are you?
How you doing, Perloff? It's time to bring up the stats, man, and call the stats for what they are.
Right.
Strength of schedule outweighs whatever feelings we may have towards this because, again, me and Alabama, you may think I'm Bama. Guess what? Someone actually don't want them in. But if we're being putting the best where the best is, this is the way out we go. I hate to be that guy, but when Cam Ward tries to shoot on the committee, like especially those tweets last night, how about we look up QBR? just a little stat. Who has the best QBR in the nation?
Wait.
Cam Ward.
Right.
In comparison to like Carson Beck, who is what, one of the 12th in QBR rating? So with that being said alone, it's a reason that Cam Ward, when he says the ACC defenses are harder than these SEC defenses. Sure, you played an SEC defense, but you played a lower tier one. Two, when it kills me to say this, it's a reason you're still up for a Heisman and someone considering you up for a Maxwell Award. I hate to be that guy, but really it's not as like.
Wait, Chris, I'm sorry. We need less Cam Ward, more you calling out Perloff. That's what I thought this call was going to be all about. I thought this is Perloff is wrong on the call screener. You will immediately be first on the queue.
Wait, Chris, you're saying Cam Ward's numbers are so gaudy that he's playing bad defenses. That's your argument, right?
Yes.
That's the start, but here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, but Perloff, how is it a pageant when, like, we're literally just going, like, we're going the best and schedule matters? Sure, they had three losses, but guess what? They weren't, like, what, losses that were, like, truly, except for outside of the Oklahoma.
Yeah, Chris, I got to stop you. I know. I appreciate Chris trying to make the argument here, but you can't just say outside of Oklahoma because that happened. And Miami did not have a loss that was as lopsided as Alabama and Oklahoma. And I think Oklahoma is worse and would probably beat Georgia Tech. Excuse me, Georgia Tech would might beat Oklahoma, and Syracuse might beat Oklahoma. So, but I thought he was going to call you out.
I mean, that's what he told me he wanted to say.
No, he's saying that.
Stumping for.
But he's saying that I said Alabama got in solely because of the brand. And yes. He's saying it was because of strength of schedule. And I kind of agree with him. Like, I thought Miami's resume is super weak. The three of us disagree. Like, I think losing to Syracuse is quite damning. Like, in football. Basketball back in 2004, I can understand that. But losing in football, like, this is a national title picture. This is Syracuse football. You just lost to Syracuse.
Okay, Syracuse also has a new coach who came from Georgia.
I don't care.
The quarterback last year from Ohio State. And,
this quarterback, they got cut from Ohio State.
Okay, but it's not like they don't have Tommy Cutlets is not the quarterback at Syracuse anymore.
Yeah,
they're turning the page on that kind of thing, and they won 9 games this year.
Oh my God. How many
games did Oklahoma win?
SEC. They lost at Oklahoma. Or was that? Yeah, it was at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
They lost at Oklahoma. Miami lost at Syracuse. Oklahoma football. Norman, Oklahoma. The home of football.
Yeah, and that team's a shell of itself right now. You got to judge it on the team you got in front of you.
Come on. Beating Syracuse, losing to Syracuse, that's ridiculous.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines for us on this Thursday.
These headlines are sponsored by GoodRx. For simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. Ooh. In their first meeting a month ago, the Packers outgained the Lions by 150 yards, but only scored 14 points and lost. Jordan Love hoping things go better on Thursday Night Football in Detroit.
A lot of stuff that we left out there. A lot of misplays, a lot of mistakes, and obviously not our best game. So a lot of stuff that we'll be looking to clean up going in this week.
Including Love throwing a pick six in that first meeting. The Jaguars placed Trevor Lawrence on IR yesterday with his concussion and that nagging left shoulder issue that likely ends his season. Meanwhile, Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair lost the appeal of his 3-game ban yesterday. Drew Lock makes a second straight start for the Giants Sunday against the Saints. New York's following game is against the Ravens. They yesterday suspended wideout Diontae Johnson for that game because he refused to take the field last weekend against the Eagles.
I saw a good social media post yesterday that there needs to be a deep dive investigation about what happens to wide receivers when they leave the Steelers. Now, Antonio Brown was crumbling even at the end of the Steelers.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
Like, what happens? All of a sudden, Steelers, guys just become...
Well, Diontae Johnson wasn't a saint in Pittsburgh. That's why he's a former Steeler, right?
Ben Roethlisberger had 2 more good years into him. Diontae Johnson ruined his last years. He was so awful in Pittsburgh. I've never seen worse drops in the other. I've always said that guy's the worst receiver in the NFL. So it's not surprise me. But listen, my favorite thing is if the Steelers offer you a wide receiver, just run
yeah,
for the
how many people have been hoodwinked by Chase Claypool?
Santonio Holmes. Remember how bad he was as a Jet EJ? Everybody. It's incredible. It's like the Braves in pitching. The Steelers, no wide receiver. Just stay away. But Diontae Johnson, oh my God, that annoyed me so much. Because how many snaps has he had? He had a drop that was so bad. In his limited action, like, they should just cut him. I don't know why they did that deal.
Right. Or why was he being asked to go on the field in the first place?
Yeah. The Ravens are so desperate.
I mean, by the way, do we overrate wide receiver midseason trades? Like, is there anything more overrated? Like, I know Cooper's okay and he threw that little lateral, but generally they've made no impact on the NFL. Very little impact. Most of them have not really done anything.
Can we just cut that when DeAndre Hopkins is holding the Lombardi Trophy?
DeAndre Hopkins has 3 catches a game for the Chiefs.
And 2 of them go for touchdowns.
He is just like, he's averaging like 37 yards a game. Devontae Adams is terrible.
Well, Devontae Adams walked into a sinkhole.
When he got traded to the Jets, I'm sure you and everybody else was like, oh, well, there we go.
Super Bowl's back on, but I was dead wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We always screw up the midseason trade. We're always overreact to it. As Vic Fangio said, he's like, midseason trades, 95% of the time do not work out.
May I now remind you of Atlanta Hawks radio voice, Steve Holman.
Brunson complaining to the official. Who do you know? I'm Jalen Brunson.
Yes, he once dared to take on the immortal Jalen Brunson. Doc Rivers was his target last night.
Trey dribbling outside. Hawks up 110-99. Trey goes baseline, throws it up, and around the rim it in. Big basket by Trey Young. He's got 16, and Doc Rivers wants another timeout. And he's complaining to the officials again.
All the Hawks feeling good as they won in Milwaukee.
What have the Hawks won lately? It's a lot of pointing fingers.
Yeah, 119-104 last night, snapping the Bucks' 7-game win streak. The Hawks are somehow in the Elite Eight of the NBA Cup, not the Celtics, not the Cavs, because the Hawks beat them and got in.
I kind of like it, though, as a broadcaster. Like, that's your thing. It's kind of funny.
It's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
Yeah.
I'd have to get the timeline of it. I don't remember calls like this before. I don't know why it feels like this is a new bit. Maybe it's an old one and we've just missed it.
Mm. Maybe he just like needed something to freshen up the act. Maybe, you know, reinventing yourself, yeah. Bugs, right?
Maybe it's his last year, so he doesn't care anymore.
Oh, and this is him mailing it in?
This is him taking no prisoners.
Yeah, this is what I really think of all of you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you ever thought about incorporating that into your own play-by-play, taunting the other team?
No, taunting seems unnecessary. I do wish that I could do a broadcast with cursing.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Brady would be so much better if he could curse.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Myers joined us earlier. If you missed that interview, you can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast, which we'd be so grateful if you give us a 5-star review. It really does help things. Or the rewind function on Odyssey. Chris talks a lot about catchphrases in his new book. Bogues. Catchphrases.
No.
Let's workshop a couple more.
All right, I'll give you the Fordham roster. You can run down some nicknames for me.
By the way, Chris talked about 1996 doing catchphrases. I don't know.
Nobody's complaining when Mike Breen gives a double bang.
But
he's begging for it, actually.
And he stole that from
always
somebody.
Always begging for it.
Manny always bang. What do you say? Begging for the double bang? There you go.
Always.
Clip that.
But it was very specific at ESPN. Remember back at SportsCenter days, like you had to have like a million catchphrases to get through the highlights.
Totally.
Like cooler than the other side of the pillow. I can't see Bogus doing that because you have to.
I'm not cool enough, funny enough,
none
of those things.
Just like you really have to. It's a little cheesy. It's like hard.
Oh, you think the Bogus too proud for that?
Yeah, I just
too
think.
Too much of a pro.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, it's a fine line. Even like the bang. Like, it's a fine line. Like, if a catchphrase doesn't work, there's nothing worse. Like, you're basically going towards a boom goes a dynamite territory.
No, I'm listening to a guy who's been in Phoenix for 100 years going Shazam. I mean, you can just keep doing it.
Yeah, you have to have a certain, I don't know. Like, certain people get away with it. You know what I mean. Like, certain people cannot. I don't think Bogus doing Shazam would work, for
you
example.
You think that Bogus is above a catchphrase.
Yeah, I think
or
Bogus
below.
Is too.
I'm not sure where you're going here.
I think it's too cool for a catchphrase. Like, you gotta, like, I'm telling you, a catchphrase gone wrong is terrible.
I stole that one, too. Deeper.
That could be your catchphrase.
I don't like how many clips Manny has that sound like they're actually from the middle of something naughty.
That could be your thing.
Accidentally filthy?
I'm sure everyone would love that on a college broadcast for a Catholic university.
Mm-hmm. Oh, college. Yes. Yeah. Catholic, maybe not so much.
That's what ESPN Plus is signing up for. Sultry Atlantic 10 men's basketball.
Get a call from the Pope.
No, I think the best catchphrase in football right now, the announcers, is just when Tony Romo yells Jim Nance's name. Jim! That's his catchphrase, right?
No, his catchphrase, I don't know, Jim. Sorry, I can't even go as high Jim. As Romo does. My voice doesn't go down.
I don't know about this, Jim. Jim!
Here we go, Jim. There's 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. We got a lot of ball game left, Tony.
The Lakers slump now includes a 134-93 loss in Miami. They've dropped 6 of 8. The T-Wolves snapped the Clippers' 9-game run to 108-80. And men's number one Kansas took a 76-63 tumble at Creighton last night. Guys, back to you.
I'm going to look up and ChatGPT. We're going to use artificial intelligence. I'm surprised Kaplan hasn't done this yet. To find Andrew Bogus a suitable and worthy catchphrase for his distinguished demeanor.
Mom, Dad, back to you.
There we go. Okay, let's turn our attention. We'll get that to you. Let's turn our attention to one of our favorites. Jory Epstein is an NFL writer for Yahoo. Massive interview with Dak Prescott this week, getting a lot of headlines. Jory, thanks so much for your time and coming back on the show. How you doing?
Maggie, Andrew, great to see you and great to be back. I am doing well. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. So, okay, anytime something happens with the Cowboys, a team that you've covered for a long time, everyone tries to read a double meaning into it. So you do this interview with Dak Prescott where he's very effusive with his praise of Mike McCarthy, and we'll get into that in a moment. But I don't know if you've seen this. A lot of people are talking, people are talking, Jory, people are saying that Dak Prescott intentionally did this interview just to show support for Mike McCarthy, because it is kind of rare outside of Aaron Rodgers when guys are injured and they still do these interviews. Do you think there was a meaning behind Dak wanting to get this support from McCarthy out there, or did you just ask a good question and he gave you a good answer?
Yeah, we talked pretty broadly about his injury recovery and where he is coming back from that hamstring surgery. We talked about feature on an Eagles linebacker on workout. We had a pretty broad-ranging interview, but of course Mike McCarthy was going to come up because, hey, this is a head coach. He's on the final year of his contract. And as I reminded Dak in that interview, this is not the first time that Dak has played for a Cowboys coach on the final year of his contract. In 2019, Jason Garrett was also on the final year of his contract. So Dak has been through this before. And that's how this conversation started out, where I said, you've been through this before. You understand, like, how do you go about processing this? What do you expect to happen next year? Because again, different situations, and I'm not saying that what happened with Jason Garrett should lead us to what will happen with Mike McCarthy, but Jason Garrett was not renewed after that season.
So when Dak does support his coach, is that just quarterback speak and doing, because Dak can be politically astute, or do you think he genuinely is supportive of his coach and really does want Mike McCarthy back?
Here's the way I'll put it to you guys. In the last year, I've been around three different players, at least, who have had the opportunity to support their coaches during this time. So I was in Tampa Bay for the wild card round last year when the Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Jalen Hurts was asked about Nick Sirianni. And Jalen basically was like, oh, is that a question that Nick is coming back? And they're like, yeah, do you want him to come back? And he goes, well, is that a question, not a direct quote? And Jalen did not say, yes, I want Nick, or he's great, or we believe in him. And again, Jalen Hurts has lots of cryptic ways that he speaks, but he did not say that. Now, fast forward to last month, I'm in Dallas for the Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas Cowboys game, and I asked Micah Parsons what the pulse of the locker room was during this time. This was their first game without Dak Prescott. They were, I believe, it was something like 3-6 at the time. And I asked him, and he didn't say, like, we want Mike back. He was like, look, if Mike isn't coaching here next year, he'll be fine. He can get a job elsewhere. But guys, I really feel bad about is someone like Zach Martin, their all-pro right guard, who is likely to retire after this year. So when you contrast a guy saying, well, is that even a question? Or I feel more bad for my right guard, with Dak Prescott saying, I have full confidence, wholehearted confidence. I want him back. I think he should get an opportunity not only to come back, but to come on, back on his own terms, which was a very intentional and interesting phrase that Dak used. I do think this is more than being politically correct, because I've been around players who have not chosen to take that direction.
Jory Epstein is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Got a big interview with Dak Prescott, making a lot of headlines. So we want to go straight to the source. So Jory, it was interesting the way that Dak put it. Majorly supportive of Mike McCarthy, wants him to get another contract, and also said to kind of let him coach on his terms, which everyone is taking as a shot at Jerry Jones and how meddling Jones can be. But then Mike McCarthy comes out and says, I've had more input on this roster than I ever did before. So what do you think Dak was talking about when he said that? And do you think Mike McCarthy just gave the politically correct answer, kind of supporting his boss?
Yeah, that's the best part, is that, like, Mike doesn't really need to be like, yeah, Dak's right, I have no say. And I give Mike McCarthy credit for not taking that route, because I think accountability is really important. I mean, we're seeing that with the Chicago Bears right now. We're seeing that with the New York Jets when Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I'm not the only one who doesn't have their details right. And I think that it's really noticeable when a guy does try to put blame or accountability elsewhere. But I think what Dak could have meant is a few things. First of all, if you're a lame duck if you're a lame duck coach on the final year of your contract, the organization knows that, the league knows that. There's definitely that element. So it could have been as simple as that. It's like, let him coach when he's not about to be on the, his contract isn't about to expire, and everybody knows that. Like, this is a question. Like, some guys would be like, well, why do you think my coach isn't going to be here? He's got 5 years left. No, Mike McCarthy does not have that. He has to be actively renewed or he's not coming back. I think it could also be, okay, well, what did the offensive line look like this year? What did the running back position look like this year? Jerry Jones made a lot of headlines when he said he was going all in. And then when you think about how almost everyone in this world interprets all in, he certainly didn't do that. And the last thing is, this has been a very injured team. Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zach Martin, Dak Prescott. I mean, those are the highest paid and the all-pro players. CeeDee Lamb's the only very highly paid player who has not been injured this year. And so when you think about just the pure record, now again, when those guys were healthy, they had some very bad losses to teams like the Saints and the Ravens. So I'm not saying that all was rainbows and butterflies when these guys were healthy, but I do think from a strictly record standpoint that Mike McCarthy has not had a healthy team. And of the 5 years he's played, three of them, Dak has been healthy for more than half of the season. And in those three seasons, they've gone 12-5 and made it to the playoffs.
Jory, this whole discussion started another conversation with Maggie and I. What does the intervention from the front office look like in Dallas? Like, does, I know Jerry isn't calling plays, but does McCarthy, I know it's about, you're talking about the roster. Is there also pressure to run the team a certain way during the season? Like, is the front office actually intervening during the regular season? Is Jerry calling down and saying, I want things to go like this?
It's a great question because I do hear stories, and again, I have not personally talked to people in the Falcons organization, but you hear stories when Bill Belichick's interviewing with Arthur Blank, and hey, does he really want to have those meetings every week where Arthur Blank is being like, here's what I think we should be doing. I don't get the sense that Jerry's like that. Now, Jerry is the ultimate decision maker on decisions that need to be made, such as, are we giving Dak this contract? How much are we giving it to him for? Who are we drafting? He's the ultimate decision maker, though he likes to say that he takes input from a lot of sources. I would say it's less about Jerry being like, call this play or start this person, and more about Jerry going on radio twice a week, typically talking after every game during the time when Mike McCarthy's talking. And so it's less an interference of a direct command and more Jerry's going to be creating this sideshow whether you like it or not. He's not going to put curtains when the sun is coming in at 4 p.m. into the stadium and getting in CeeDee Lamb's eyes. He's not going to stop telling people that the left tackle actually isn't available for the game this week and that might be a competitive advantage for the other team to play, but he's not going out and saying you need to start this guy. And I think one of the clearest examples to me of that is Ezekiel Elliott coming back. I would not say that was only a Jerry Jones decision, but I do think it was very heavily influenced by the loyalty and appreciation that Jerry Jones has for Ezekiel Elliott. There was a game this year that Zeke was benched and did not travel with the team because he'd been late to meetings and disciplined. If Jerry was in charge, I do not think that Zeke would have been benched for that game. And Jerry, even afterwards, was like, I'm not mad at him. He's one of the best team guys we have. I've done way worse than that.
Jory Epstein is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Last one for me, Jory. This whole thing started out with this Dak Prescott interview that you got, and the headlines about Mike McCarthy and Dak's support of McCarthy is kind of what's getting the attention. You said this interview started with asking about Dak's rehab from the season-ending hamstring injury. So this is someone they just gave a boatload of money to, $60 million a year. What do we think he's going to be like when he comes back from this lower body injury?
Yeah, it's a great question, Maggie. And so on November 3rd, Dak's hamstring partially tore off the bone when the Cowboys were playing at the Atlanta Falcons and they were deciding whether to have surgery. It could heal without it, but it could not. And it got to the point where he wasn't really likely to be playing this year and particularly not playing in games with playoff implications. And so they did undergo the surgery the following week, or Dak underwent the surgery, and he is expected to be fully cleared before OTAs, before minicamp. On Tuesday, when I talked to Dak, he was able to drive for the first time, like his leg was able to do that. He had been returning to having the walking gait that he was more used to, still with crutches, able to do core work and weight transfers. And his next benchmark that he's looking forward to is being able to do workouts where he puts his crutches down. I think it's fair to say that at 31, he'll be 32 next year, with multiple lower body injuries, he probably won't have the mobility that he had in 2016. I also think that Dak has become so proficient in the pocket. I mean, in 2023, he was the runner-up for MVP for a reason. The way he was seeing the field and connecting and taking advantage of his protection, that Dak is not Lamar Jackson. That's not his style of game, particularly at the NFL level. He did some of that in college. And so I think, to me, there is some degree of question about his mobility. And also interesting, like, I know when you talk ACL or Achilles, often those guys in the first year back don't have their mobility, but in the second year they might. So what would that look like 2025 versus 2026? I do expect him to be fully able to play and not severely or even significantly limited next year. Really, the question would be, how fast is he going to be when he's scrambling? And that had already changed in recent years.
We're up against a break, Jory. So this isn't even really a question. Can I just state that DeMarvion Overshawn is awesome? And yes. I feel like you have two defensive players of the year all of a sudden out of nowhere on this defense. That guy is crazy good.
Yeah, tipped the interception, caught it, and returned it for a touchdown. Pretty impressive.
Jory, thank you so much for doing this. Congrats, big Dak Prescott interview. It's everywhere, and rightfully so. Appreciate the time.
Maggie, Andrew, great to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Okay, lots more to unpack, including you and I have to make a pick for this game. tonight, Packers, Lions. We've got thoughts on how this goes down from a betting perspective next. This is what happens when you let young people take the aux cord. Manny and EJ running the music here.
Yeah. Listen, I've been trying to catch up, Maggie. I drive home and I listen.
Do you know this song?
No, but I listen to 97.1. And
oh, Perloff with Hot 97?
Hot 97.
I think and you should be listening to Infinity Sports Radio. Well, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's after the show. And I got to tell you, like, it's a lot. I don't think I know what EJ listens to, and that's not what it's on Hot 97. Mm. It's a lot more.
Yes, you're right about that.
It's a lot more pop music and just like, it's, I don't know. What do you think
when
of Hot 97?
When are you going to get into your rap era, Perloff?
I had a rap era in 1991.
Yeah.
91.
Listen to Eric B. and Rakim.
Oh, yeah. It takes two to make a thing go right. Are you kidding me? That was amazing.
Okay.
Where do you think the Beastie Boys came from?
But you're complaining that it sounds like pop music. What do you think that was? That was more close to pop than hardcore rap.
Mm.
It is. It's kind of.
Grandmaster Flash. Like, this is dancey, fun music.
Yeah. No, I'm saying what a lot of stuff on Hot 97 is kind of garbage. Is that?
Yes. Yes, facts. I 100% co-sign this Perloff take.
Are we about to get into a radio beef with the people from the hip-hop station? That might not be a good idea,
guys. Let's bring in Power 105. What do we think about Power 105 now, guys?
No, actually, by the way, that being said, the talk on Hot 97 is amazing.
I was going to say.
It's really good. On Saturday mornings, I listened, our buddy Pete Rosenberg and all those guys.
Do you realize if we get into a beef with a rap station, how much better equipped they are to deal with said beef than us?
We got Peter Schwartz, Maggie. I'm not ducking any smoke.
Yes, the Dion laugh track times 1,000 for that. Let's make a pick for tonight's game, shall we? So this is a big one. Lions are hosting the Packers. A lot on the line. Lions 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is set at 51.5.
Amazing.
Perloff, you got to lean?
Yeah, so I know the Lions injuries are a big deal, but I feel like the Packers' back four is going to have trouble without Jaire Alexander because there's so many weapons that Detroit can hit you with. Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, big Jameson Williams revenge game after that idiotic personal foul on Thanksgiving. I feel like if it gets into a shootout, Detroit's better equipped for that. I like Detroit to cover.
I'll tell you what. The Lions were the masters of covering spreads, and it almost felt like the bigger the spread, the easier they were going to cover it. I think 3.5 is too much.
I hear you.
I'm going to take the Packers and the points with this one because you said it's so much for everyone to play for. You could say for Jameson Williams, but I could also say the same thing for everyone on the Packers. The number one seed, the division, everything is up for grabs. And I strongly believe the Packers would much rather have the playoffs run through Lambeau. So
yeah, I
think you get everything in this game.
I bet you. Okay. I'm going to see a 70-yard touchdown from Jameis Williamson, and then a big break run by Jahmyr Gibbs, 50-yard touchdown, which is, by the way, not even like a hot take. Like, he covers that longest run bet every week.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Oh, I just had, what did I have here? Oh, man, what happened to my DraftKings account? Hold on one second. Yeah,
you've got a good prop, too.
Yeah, I do. Ah, crap. What do you think about the 51.5 while I find this prop?
I like, oh, my God. I mean, if you bet under on this game, like, you really shouldn't even be allowed to watch it. Because, like, what are you doing? What is the point of betting under on a big primetime matchup? So you're going to root against scoring? And also, too, I do think it does. I would bet over it. Feel comfortable about it.
I like the Jaden Reed over 4.5 catches.
Yeah.
I think he's the one who's emerged as really the guy they trust the most.
Obviously. They might do that handoff to him again, too. He's great in the open field.
That would be my prop.
How about an anytime touchdown for him?
Who would you like?
Well, for Jaden Reed, I wonder how the numbers are on that one.
He is anytime touchdown score plus 135. That's nice. I'm going to take it.
That's okay.
I mean, it's a prop. You're not betting the mortgage on this.
Yeah, no, but I'd like a plus 280 or something in an anytime touchdown.
I can give you Dontavian Wicks at plus 260.
Yeah, except like they might bench him because he's got a big case of the drops. No Dobbs tonight. That helps with him. Are you picking over or under? What do you think?
I mean, I'd probably lean towards the over.
Yeah.
But you want to know why? This is a personal thing. I've been getting burned on unders left and right. So
it's the worst.
Yeah.
Also, too, in my head, I'm picturing the great primetime Jared Goff games, Jared Goff versus Patrick Mahomes, LA versus the Chiefs. Like, I think these Lions are similar to the greatest show on turf. Like, they are an all-time offense. And all-time offenses show out in primetime.
You know, the one thing, we had Lomas Brown on the show earlier, Lions great and Super Bowl champ with the Bucs. One thing you didn't get the chance to ask him, you know, Jared Goff threw three picks in a game that they still won, by the way.
Yeah.
Five picks in a game. Five picks.
Yeah, I was here.
Five picks in a game. Five picks in a game, five interceptions in a game. They still won the game. That just took him out of the MVP conversation. But should it have?
Well, it doesn't feel like he's a bit of a, like a very, very, very high-end system quarterback. I mean, the best offensive line.
So it was Brock Purdy, and he was in the MVP
conversation. Yeah, but he came in fourth. I mean, yeah, I think Goff will probably be top five, similar to Brock Purdy. I think that people are going to weigh his weapons against him.
Enjoy the game tonight, everybody. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Lomas Brown, to Chris Myers, and to Jory Epstein. Big guest day today. You can find all of those on the Maggie and Perloff podcast. You can download wherever you get your pods. And on the absolutely free to download Odyssey app. See you tomorrow.